Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Defense Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. More fallout now from the Trump election. Everything from the just absolutely uncalled for horrific responses to really the ridiculous and laughable. We'll walk through some of those this afternoon. And then ultimately ending with what appears to be very reasoned approach when it comes to race relations, examination from the Catholic perspective, and questions to ask, what can we do better? How do we spearhead this? How do we lead this charge? Archbishop Wynton Gregory of the Atlanta Archdiocese with those very important questions that have real answers when we ask them well, when we explore them properly. We'll get into that this afternoon. And an update on Father Frank Pavone's situation in his Amarillo Diocese. What's happening there is the investigation continues, asking lots of questions there exactly. What was violated in this internet stunt with his plea to vote for Trump? Back with more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, Current Defense Hour, Catholic Faith. I guess we all need a pair of Snapchat spectacles. I don't know what about us glasses wearers? I used to wear contacts. That was kind of my thing, and I've been in corrective lenses my entire life. I don't recall a time when I haven't had to wear something. I didn't for a period of time, but it wasn't because I didn't need it. I just, that kind of middle school, high school time where you're like, I'm too cool for that. Glasses in elementary school, and then back in corrective lenses by the time I was in college and really suffering significantly from vision challenges. Probably, maybe by the time I finished high school. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember the exact timeline. But nonetheless, now, because my eyesight is so poor, and even though they've got you can see close up and far away in the contacts. Transitional? No, that's not what it is. Anyway, it's like a bifocal contact. I still see better looking under my glasses. I can get monovision, hold something up there, pretty clear at this point. I can still capture it there, so that's kind of the technique I use. Use the glasses for distance, under the glasses for close up. So I don't know that the Snapchat spectacle will fit over my glasses. But apparently it's $100 and some odd. They got vending machines are set up, and you buy these things and you shoot video off your glasses. So it's no longer a device that you need. You're wearing the camera, and people are seeing what you're seeing as you look around, and you have this, you know, it's that drag around and look sort of concept that we've seen. So, fun stuff. Technology's fun. I just don't know if this particular piece of technology is for me. We'll see. Well, as we know, the Trump election now starting to experience fallout in various areas. There are those who have literally taken to the streets and protest, those who have wanted to voice their concerns. Posted this over on my Facebook page. How this happens, I don't understand. But apparently, Seattle, middle school and high school kids, none of whom are wearing glasses that I see in the photo, middle school and high school kids decided they're walking out of school. they reject the president-elect, which apparently is the rally cry, the chant. We reject the president-elect, which, that's the beauty of living in America. We could do this kind of stuff, but it's, I guess, you know, we're going to have our morning, our time of experiencing this, which I think, you know, I have been no fan of Trump. I did vote conservative for my congressional and Senate seats and my House representative, my local General Assembly representative, I should say. And I'm not going to, you know, other than news items like this, we'll talk about this, but I am personally not going to make it a point to try to oppose this. It's done. It's done. So be it. It is what it is, and that's how it is. So walk out of class all you want, stage all the protests you want. Nothing is changing. Your protest was on November 8th by getting out to the voting booth. As I said before, Trump supporters much more motivated. They got there. They got there. Clinton supporters, not so. And you can say, well, she won the popular vote. Yes, because she won big cities. That's the beauty of the electoral college. It's the beauty of that. Because that keeps the concentration of power out of these population centers. That would be a disservice to the country. It's only been needed four times where the popular vote actually outweighed that of the electorate, but it was needed. That's why, because this concentration in the urban areas, middle America, would be just left out. So with that staged walkout in Seattle, Warren Buffett is basically saying, hey, you know, time to stop it. I don't know if he actually called these individuals crybabies or if it was WorldNet Daily's way of coloring what he had to say, but the sentiment is the same nonetheless. Look, come on. It's time to accept this. Warren Buffett, who has no reason to be on Trump's team necessarily, and my guess is he would probably have been anticipating a Clinton victory, but so far the markets have responded well to the Trump victory, so needless to say, an investor of his caliber kind of sees things going well, may say, hey, come on, enough's enough, let's move this forward. But I think the most disturbing isn't the reaction in opposition, it's what I see as reaction in support, and that is David Duke of the Ku Klux Klan coming out now saying that the Ku Klux Klan will formally hold a victory rally for Donald Trump in North Carolina. And this is not something we need. Just like we talked yesterday on the show, what we don't need are these fake news stories circulating that gets people in an uproar because we assume that there's something racially oriented that isn't. The other thing that we don't need are these type of fuels to the fire. We just don't need fuel to the fire. The fires are there. Let's find a way to isolate them and let them burn themselves out. Let's not put fuel on those fires. And if it's true, as it appears, because President-elect Trump has said it, he doesn't want this, then listen to him. If he's your guy, and you trust what he says, you believe what he says, you support him, then listen to him. And don't do this kind of stuff. It's just going to make the matter worse. Another post on my Facebook page from a San Francisco Metro ride where a woman berates a young Syrian girl because she was speaking to her father in the Assyrian dialect. And there's been an emboldened nature of racially motivated attacks. And I've seen this, heard about this. It's even happened in my own hometown with people who I know are not fabricating this, because it's happened. Where for whatever reason, people are now assuming that they can say and do things that they were never able to say or do before, because we have a president-elect Trump. And they're coming out with things like, well, you're going to get deported anyway. Or, you won't be here long. To immigrants. To people of color. To blacks in America who are Americans who've been here the whole time. Now, at the very least, if you are going to, and this is what I've said many, 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 many times, if you're going to stand on the immigration thing and your whole thing is, well, I'm just against illegal immigration. Here's what I haven't necessarily seen, and I just, let's be honest. I've never seen somebody have to stand on that. It's just about the law. Who didn't have problems with other laws. So it's not they're so legalistic. It's not that they're just so completely... It's not that they're constitutionalists by any means, because they oppose elements of the Constitution. Or at least interpretations of the Constitution. That's what I said. I generally haven't seen, and maybe I'm missing something, but in general experience, I have not seen someone who feels like they need to make that claim, like, well, I'm all about legal immigration because it's the law, who would not, on the flip side of that coin, say abortion as the law of the land is wrong, or same-sex marriage as law of the land is wrong, but I'm against illegal immigration. It needs to be legal. It needs to be the law. So wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. You really can't. Either find a different logic or change your entire tune. Because if you're truly all about the law, then be all about the law. Because now, same-sex marriage is the law, and abortion has been the law for a long time. So if that's the leg on which you stand, then make that your thing. Otherwise, simply say that, no, I'm bothered by these people. Because apparently you're not bothered by people because you oppose abortion, so you're okay with a population increase. So where's it really coming from? Examine those attitudes and figure out a better way to stand, because you look completely unauthentic and questionable when that's your tactic. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Outward. Back after this.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Our Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me, I should say, over on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Also, become a friend of the show at our website, breadboxmedia.com. There you can discover how you can support your favorite shows. Doesn't just have to be mine. You can support others. Lots of content, lots of programming that we're offering, and it's growing all the time with new shows coming on, some of them starting in the podcast environment, then developing into streamed shows. And the goal of this organization to be connected to parish communities across the country by the end of 2020, all of them, but maybe sooner, God willing. Keep praying. I think lots of prayers going on after this election, and I am pleased in what I've seen coming from the Atlanta Archdiocese with Archbishop Wilton Gregory, who is coming out basically saying, now is the time. Now is the time for the church to be the thought leader when it comes to racial issues. Love Atlanta. I think it's a great city. And what a diverse group of individuals when you see what's there represented in this archdiocese, because the archdiocese encompasses the urban area, which of course is immensely racially diverse. But then it goes into these other rural areas of Georgia, which kind of get into a middle America sort of feel, and unfortunately a fear factor that comes with people who others assume are not like them. So something that we really need to be able to do as Catholics, because we can, first, because we have the credibility truly like no one else. I say this about the Catholic Church in a lot of instances, but it's true. It's not just me, because I'm trying to always paint my faith in the most rosiest of colors. It's not that. It's we really have significant credibility when it comes to diversity, because we're a global organization representing every race, every nationality, every language. You're going to find some degree of Catholicism globally everywhere. So when it comes to true diversity, we represent that. Now, what we have to stop doing, and this is, I think, this is our next big challenge. Because what's happened, and praise God it's happened, it's happened, and it's not good or bad necessarily, but it's something that we have to understand and embrace. But yeah, I mean, praise God it's happened that we've had an immigrant community grow our ranks. In our Lexington, Kentucky diocese, it's speculated, because we really don't know. We don't know these numbers. These individuals are not on parish rosters. They're not signed up officially with anything. There's a fear from them to even do anything of this nature where they would officially be registered, because now you know they're there. So there's speculation that the immigrant community could easily outnumber the native community, if you will. Nativism, that's funny, right? But this is a real issue, because we're now falling into an area of segregation. What we've decided to do as a way to solve a problem is create another one. And I think it's something we've really got to address in the next 5 to 10 years, or it's only going to get worse before it gets better. And fortunately, we have we have this credibility. We have to exercise it. We have to display it. I'm not sure we do a great job of that, but we at least have the heritage of being multicultural. But it's not about being multicultural and siloed. It's not about being multicultural and sealed away. So we now kind of have this understanding that we're sharing the turf, right? You're here, we're here, okay, hey, we got to kind of stay out of each other's way. You guys, it's your church community too. Almost in a begrudging fashion that, well, okay, I'll make room for you. And even if it was, oh, yes, here's room for you, bye. Yeah, you take over now, okay, thank you, bye. I don't think either of those dynamics are appropriate, because What we're saying is, it's okay to have two completely separate communities in this parish. That is antithetical to a parish environment. Yeah, we end up, generally speaking, we go to the mass we go to. It's 11 a.m. on Sunday. We're always there. We're 5 p.m. Saturday, whatever. Generally, we kind of fall into these patterns of this is where we attend. And yeah, we see the same people. And we may have a deeper relationship with those mass attenders because they're always there. But even then, we don't do it great. Let's be honest. As Catholics, we don't have deep relationships with most people in our parish. But that's not how it's supposed to be. Because there's wisdom in the understanding of saying, this community, geographically, is represented by this parish. What unites us is localism. What unites us is subsidiarity. What unites us is that we are in the same community. Therefore, if we're in the same community, we are literally crossing paths everywhere else. I live in a highly Latino area. My grocery store probably has the biggest Latino section next to a supermercado. It is without variance. Every time I go shopping, I encounter a handful of Latino families. I would dare say there have been times when I've been in this particular grocery store when the Latino population possibly is greater than the Anglo population. Just guessing. We're in the same neighborhood. We shop together. At the same time, in the same grocery line, while our kids goof off and kind of play with each other while we're in the grocery line, and we smile and nod and like, yeah. Exchange some niceties. Just like we do with everybody else. But you know what? I don't go to church with them even though they're in my parish. I don't see them at Mass. They don't see me at Mass. We don't have that degree of connection because they're at another time designed just for them. I'm at another time designed just for me. That's the next hurdle we have to get beyond. I propose something that I know not everybody likes, but we were never to jettison Latin in the Mass. And I think it's odd because I think I'm kind of seen as a progressive Catholic. I'm not a traditionalist necessarily. I let's put it this way. I wasn't campaigning for Donald Trump. We know that. That in of itself makes me in the progressive reformer mode. But my question is, what if we did a Latin Novus Ordo? Now we got a common language. No one has to feel excluded from that. And we do what our Bishop Johnstone, did brilliantly at a Mass, as he is able to weave in and out of Spanish and English to the point that everyone is on the page. One sentence is English, one sentence is Spanish. He speaks them both expressively and fluently, and the Latino community laughs at his Spanish jokes, and the English community laughs at his English jokes. That could be done. And we could begin to say, how do we merge these communities? I would be the first there. Give me that Latin Novus Ordo, give me a mix of Spanish and English, and let's bring these communities together. Now, the one interesting thing that I've discovered is 90% of the adult, young, especially the young adult, let's say 30s and below, who generally have kids in school, speak English perfectly anyway. And certainly their kids do. So I think that's our next hurdle. That's something we've got to really think about when it comes to unifying this community. Yes, let's look at the races. Let's look at the ethnicities, and let's find real ways of healing this and bringing us together in that community, which is supposed to be about a community, a family, a parish. Let's look at that. Let's address that. More to come in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Questions, and way more questions than any answers right now when it comes to Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Exactly what was violated? What will the disciplinary response be? What could that response be? It's really hard to say, and I think there's a couple of challenges here when you look at what Bishop Zurich is up against in Amarillo with already at least a strained, I would have to imagine, a strained relationship at best after simply trying to get disclosure on financials from the organization when there was a bit of opposition internally at that time from Pavone, basically saying this is an independent organization, it is not under the auspices of the diocese. Then Dolan getting involved, Archbishop Dolan, Timothy Dolan of New York, saying, well, you're operating in New York, so, well, you are in my diocese, so let's look at this. And further noncompliance, to finally petitioning Rome to have it determined that, yes, this is an independent organization, nothing needs to be disclosed to the diocese. Now, the only question I would have there, if you're a 501c3, you should disclose your financials in an annual report anyway. This is something that's just good stewardship of those who support you, so they know what your financials look like and they see that everything's on the up and up, which if you're disclosing annual reports, which, you know, don't necessarily get the line items, but they get to generally financial chunks of information that are discernible, there shouldn't be a question about what you're doing anyway if you're in full disclosure. So that dynamic was a little bit bizarre to begin with. Just saying. Now we got this, which doesn't necessarily bode well for a strained relationship. Time is going to tell where this all goes. We don't know anything really yet. We do know this, and we've talked about this extensively. It is time. Please, it is time for a new pro-life movement. I know this is happening. I think it could be bigger than that. Bigger than the brand pro-life, at least. And I think we can still do good work because there are organizations that are already doing good work, who've been doing good work. There are crisis pregnancy centers. There's international organizations like Birthright who are doing this stuff from a non-political, non-legislative platform They don't have to wrangle into that stuff. They're just doing what they do. They're helping women. They're giving them, first off, a pregnancy test to determine, is it real? You're just a little irregular. Let's check this out. Let's find out. And then when discovering, oh, yeah, you know what, it is real? Well, let's talk about your path to parenthood. Let's talk about what that's going to look like and how we're going to walk with you. Because you know what? We got everything you need. We got everything you need. We'll be here for you. You do not need to need anything. We got it. That is more powerful than any piece of legislation. That building of a relationship to say yes. Now, I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Over the weekend, I was at our local chapter of Birthright's big fundraiser. And as it turns out, a woman who was attending was getting her hair done before coming to the event, mentions where she's going, and the hairdresser, who I'm not sure how well she knew her before, usually that relationship, at least with my wife and her hairdresser, is probably stronger than hers and mine. But anyway, she never knew this about her before. Says, what? 19 years ago, I went to Birthright for a pregnancy test. She has a 19-year-old daughter who happens to be embarking on her modeling career. Even if she wasn't working toward a success, that doesn't matter, but just one example. Didn't take any legislation. Didn't take any political wrangling. Didn't take any selling of your political soul to try to find a way to fit human dignity issues into one political party which doesn't fit. It's not a fit. That can't happen. But it took an organization with the proper resources to do what needed to be done to make sure that this woman had the resources she needed, so that now, 19 years later, her daughter has a life and an emerging career. I think this stuff is way simpler than what we make it a lot of times. But I do know this. Yes, you can have your pet focus. You can have your true strength of calling. But if you don't understand why you're doing this to begin with, you got nothing. I'm sorry, you got nothing, because you can't stand on that. You can't stand on a platitude with no support mechanism. We're talking about the rock yesterday, you know, this foundation that says there's something so solidly supportive. There's something so centrally and totally secure, and the confidence that you can gain from standing in that. There's an amazing presence of mind when you cooperate with grace on that level, to the point that it's like, you don't need to fight these fights. You just need to stand in truth, knowing why you stand in truth. So when I ask people why they're pro-life, if the first response is not because I believe in human dignity of each and every individual, regardless of their stage of life, if that's what I hear, then I know you've got it. I know you understand. And if by chance you just happen to be legislatively oriented because that's your forte, that's what you enjoy, I know there are people who enjoy that. They really enjoy that. The wonkiness of that. if that's where you are, if that's what you're into and that's what you want to do, but at the same time you realize that abortion is just one issue, regardless of its primacy, it's one among many, and you're going to, in that world, work for them all. It's kind of like, we got a Catholic Conference of Kentucky. We've got this Catholic Conference that is there that truly examines every piece of legislation and asks, how does this affect human dignity? What can we do as a Catholic body now to enforce this legislation or oppose this legislation? And that's their focus. Is it Catholic? Because they're the Catholic Conference representing four bishops of our state, and they're going to say, how do we best approach this piece of legislation so that it's for the common good? So that it's representative of human dignity? So that it truly embraces solidarity and subsidiarity? And hats off to Jason Hall, the director of this organization, who I know is committed to those issues. And there are Catholics who question his authenticity because he's not single issue. And his legislation emphasis is not just on the pro-life, quote-unquote, anti-abortion legislation. We got to start seeing the big picture. And we got to start really understanding the why behind the what. When we do that, we will have authenticity. When we do that, we will garner respect from those who maybe question our motives. When we do that effectively, we will rally support behind all of these issues, because we're supporting all these issues and we haven't decided to say this is the only thing we're concerned about. And when we can say racism is bad and we're going to help you deal with that, abortion is bad and we're going to work together to deal with this, and we run the gamut on these human dignity issues collectively, we got credibility. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless you.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.